Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
You're welcome, Max. So Roma have taken an early lead against Chelsea in Rome. They're 1-0 up after just 2 minutes of play. El Shaarawy with the goal for Roma. So Chelsea 1-0 down already this evening. Nil all in all the other games, including Manchester United at home to Benfica and Celtic at home to Bayern. We're turning to rugby because Ireland's World Cup rugby bid pretty much looks to be in terminal trouble here. Today, what happened was that World Rugby's technical review group, they're an independent group, came back with their verdict on the preferred country to host the 2023 World Cup. South Africa was the winner, France finished second, and Ireland was third of three. So what happens now is the World Rugby Council vote on November 15th in Kensington. A number of countries have come out and said, for instance, that they will vote in accordance with a technical review recommendation. Like the New Zealand CEO, Steve Chu, said, why pay an independent review group to forensically examine all three bids and then go against their findings? So we've got Rory O'Connor from the Irish Independent on the line. And Rory, on that basis, on what Steve Chu of the New Zealand Federation said, Ireland's World Cup bid not looking so good.
It would, Joe, and I think this is a new process that's been introduced by World Rugby to ensure transparency around the World Cup bid, to avoid situations where deals are done in the dark of night in the hotel bar before the vote is taken, and to kind of avoid any FIFA-like situations and things like that. And it's a big test of its viability and its strength, because the whole thing is in place so that this independent review group thoroughly goes through every element of the three bids, line by line, on a very cold and clinical basis, and comes out with the best one. And at this stage, the RFP are hoping that they are able to turn some heads and to basically prize the whole thing away from South Africa based on the emotive pitch of their bid that didn't quite come across when the kind of brass tacks were considered by the review group.
If you look at the ratings, so of 100%, obviously, France are second with 75.88%. South Africa are in first with 78.97%. And we're at 72.25%. So just over 6% behind South Africa. There are different criteria. There are different areas that they've looked at. For instance, in terms of, as you've mentioned, vision and hosting concept, whatever that may be, it only has a 10% weighting, so it's not ultimately that important. But we pipped them there. We've 6.75% out of 10% to their 6.25%. The area where the Irish bid really pales in comparison quite badly to the South African bid is venues and host cities. So the French have 22.88%, so 22%. We have 21.75% when it comes to venues and host cities. South Africa have 26.63%. So let's say 27% to our 22% when it comes to venues and host cities. What have they said about our venues and host cities?
We don't have them. We're they're kind of to be continued or to be finished off. You know, I think anyone who has been talking about this knows that the Irish bid was reliant on a little bit of imagination compared to a country that was able to host the FIFA World Cup in 2010 or a European Championships in 2016, just last year. The Irish bid was more, you know, it was Croke Park, it was the Aviva Stadium, and it was a smattering of GAA grounds, some of which need, you know, complete overhaul, some of which are yet to be built. So I guess when you put that down on paper alongside the other two bids and you're scoring them out of whatever they were scoring them, it's going to pale in comparison, because you could hold the World Cup in South Africa or France effectively next year or tomorrow, whereas Ireland, when they're looking at risks, that's a risk when it comes to Ireland. And that's why Ireland has fallen down so much in this category. And effectively, it's the reason that Ireland has been coming third here today, because across all three nations, it's pretty tight across the board, apart from in the area of stadia. Stuff like accommodation and transport don't seem to have caused them too many sleepless nights, which I think most Irish people were a little bit concerned about. But it's come down to this. Even the financial thing, that Ireland weren't committing as much money as the French or the South Africans, seems to have been weighted out by the commercial potential that Ireland has. But when it comes down to it, these accountants and kind of people are looking at it and saying, well, hang on a second, why would we, you know, invest our trust in something that is yet to be built when we have two that are ready to go right here. So I think that's effectively where Ireland has fallen down.
Like, the Irish government have guaranteed $34 million to cover the costs of stadium upgrades, but it just seems like the word risk keeps reappearing in the review committee's report today. Higher risk to the tournament compared to French, South African venues. They mentioned Porky Cueve, Pearce Stadium, Fitzgerald Stadium requiring a significant level of overlay, which is flagged as a risk. The amount of work that would have to take place at all these stadiums. Casement Park, scheduled for redevelopment by 2020, will also require a significant level of overlay. It seems even the Irish government coming out and guaranteeing the money to do this work has still left the review committee saying, yeah, but, you know, it's just kind of a risk, you know?
Yeah, and they said Ireland are more than capable of hosting this World Cup. They've said all three, I think, are excellent bids. But they're assessing between them, you know, that they would have no problem recommending all three of them to go forth and hold this tournament. But they had to come down on one. And if everyone is excellent across the board, it's going to, you know, that has to be, they're looking at that and going, well, you know, Ireland has a way to go, whereas the other two don't. So, we don't know what Casement Park's going to look like. It seems amazing that Porky Cueve, brand new as it is, will need another overlay. But we knew that the likes of Fitzgerald Stadium and Pearce Stadium were going to need some work. So I guess that's not surprising. I think the RFU are probably a little bit taken aback by the fact that it's caused such a disparity between them, because, you know, New Zealand carried out the tournament so well in 2011 with probably a more limited stadium stock than Ireland even have. And that doesn't seem to have been taken into account. And I guess that's where the difference between the boardroom discussion that World Rugby Council make in 2 weeks' time and this more forensic approach happens. So I think in the voting for 2015, they might have been able to kind of had a bit more room for emotion and a bit more room for, you know, what the full stadia in the middle of towns, in these unique venues that we have, that probably carried more weight in that environment than it does in this more kind of forensic report that's been published today.
Yeah, so their issue is it more with the cities coping with the crowds, or is it with the venues? Because the more I think about the venues issue, well, of course there's going to be some degree of risk when we haven't built the stadiums yet. But by the same token, we're a first world country. The government have put up the money. Like, I wouldn't worry overly about the stadiums and the risk of them suddenly not appearing for 2023. Is it that they're concerned with, you know, I know Killarney was mentioned, they were concerned about how we might handle crowds. Is that a bigger concern? I just, because, you know, you would think the Rugby Council will look at this and accept that the review committee is right in saying there will be risks with no stadium, but ultimately there's a pretty good chance we'll build the stadiums if we say we will.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's accepted in the report that the stadiums, they believe the stadiums will be built, but the risk is that they're not built right now. And yeah, I completely see your point there, and it's not really about the towns themselves. There is South Africa one point to the fact that they've proven the capacity to be able to put everyone up in the cities themselves. So if say Port Elizabeth hosts a game, Port Elizabeth has the hotel bed to do that. Well, I've been to Port Elizabeth and Bloemfontein recently, and I find it slightly hard to believe because they're both fairly, you know, small towns with limited amounts of hotel stock from what I was looking when I was over there with Leinster. So they have said that Ireland and France have issues when it comes to accommodating everyone in one place. So with Saint-Étienne is the one they flagged with France, they would have to rely on neighbouring cities and towns to put people up, and there's a couple of the Irish ones. I think we'd all appreciate that, you know, that Killarney, maybe not necessarily Galway, but a couple of the places might not rely on towns nearby. But see, this is the level of minutiae that they've gone to in this report. It's a fascinating read because it delves so deep into every line of what they're looking for, and I guess they're going looking for issues to separate these three countries that they've agreed are all good enough to do this. So they're kind of coming down on slightly higgledy-piggledy things, but they're all the little lines that have added up to these overall scores that have ultimately handed South Africa the advantage.
Yeah, final point then, the Irish bid chairman Dick Spring has said obviously it's very disappointed not to have received the initial recommendation from Rugby World Cup Board Limited, but he says there's nothing in the report which is insurmountable, and it's certainly not the end of the road. I must say it feels like the end of the road. Looking to the past, I mean, you were saying this is a slightly new thing, the review committee, but you see like the New Zealand chairman coming out saying, well, look, we're going to vote with the people we've paid to do this job. How insurmountable is it now that the review committee independently have gone for South Africa? Like, is history any pointer here for how much of a tricky spot we're in?
It's not, because it is a new process. Okay. It's the first time it's ever been carried out like this.
Okay.
And the whole point of it is to stop the kind of wheeler dealer stuff on the night before the final vote that we've seen, maybe in other tournaments, you know, maybe the one that New Zealand won, which was a big surprise back in 2011. So it's a big test of World Rugby's new transparency kind of model. It's a big test of whether this is going to work. The RFU have been canvassing on this for 2 years, and it's not the people who wrote this report today that they've been kind of, you know, meeting with and trying to persuade for their votes. There's 39 votes at play. They'll expect to have some in their back pocket going into the meeting. So will France. The French were quite bullish today as well. And I always got the impression that the French and the Irish were kind of ahead in that political game.
Mm.
I guess the test is whether World Rugby's report and the level of thoroughness that they've gone into, whether the council can be seen to ignore the level of work that's gone into today's report. Because if you're going to talk about transparency and you're going to talk about how transparent the way you award the World Cup is, this report is a shining example because of the level of detail and minutiae that it goes into.
Yeah.
So
they'll open themselves up to accusations of wheeler dealery. We'll be the Qatar of the rugby world.
Yeah, see, I mean, you can only imagine the reaction if Ireland was recommended and they gave it to France 2 weeks later.
All right.
And South Africa have already started saying that. So, it doesn't look like a good day in the bid for Ireland.
Okay. Thanks for that, Rory.
No worries. Cheers, Joe.
Off the Ball on Newstalk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.